A reading from Micah chapter 3. Thus says the Lord concerning the prophets who lead my people astray, who cry peace when they have something to eat, but declare war against him who puts nothing into their mouths. Therefore it shall be night to you without vision, and darkness to you without divination. The sun shall go down on the prophets, and the day shall be black over them. The seers shall be disgraced, and the diviners put to shame. They shall all cover their lips, for there is no answer from God. But as for me, I am filled with power, with the Spirit of the Lord, and with justice and might, to declare to Jacob his transgression, and to Israel his sin. O Lord, have mercy on us.
Thanks be to God.
In many and various ways, God spoke to his people of old by the prophets.
But now, in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son.
A prophet or a preacher, call him what you will, holds forth the word of truth in an ever-changing world. For us, the issues seem to be those of life, religious freedom, marriage, stability, and basic decency. But things have always been so. Micah, prophesying millennia ago, summarized matters thus: For Yahweh has told you, O man, what is good. And what does Yahweh require of you but to do justice, to love kindness, and to walk humbly with your God? Micah's oracle, however, is crammed with contrary examples that continue to resonate with us in our own day and age. For example, while making the point that the godly have surely perished from the earth and only the wicked remain, the prophet exclaims, "The best of them is like a briar, and the most upright of them is a thorn bush." Ouch! A point pricklingly made. But such barbs are the stuff of Micaean prophecy. Or how about this one from the early part of the oracle? The prophet is trying to convince himself that Yahweh's oracles actually do some good for those who walk uprightly, as he puts it. But lately, Micah continues, my people have risen up as an enemy. You strip the rich robe from those who pass by trustingly with no thought of war. Swiping someone's tunic while passing trustingly by sounds quite quaint or even humorous, but the prophet invests even so petty a detail with theological significance. Or how about this one? For those of you who like Gemütlichkeit a bit too much, if a man should go about and utter wind and lies, I will prophesy for you plenty of wine and beer, why, he would be just the prophet for this people. Maybe Micah had those preachers in mind who jabber incessantly about wine and the finer things of life, yet completely failed to proclaim Yahweh's judgment in the gathering gloom. There is much more of this type of thing in Matthew's prophecy, but I think you get the point. Matthew's bombast inveighs heavily against all the moral depravity, baseness, and wickedness of his age. And it isn't hard to see that what really sets him off is the substandard prophecy and preaching very well depicted throughout the oracle. Take today's reading from chapter 3. Thus saith Yahweh, as for the prophets who lead my people astray, if one feeds them, they proclaim peace. But if he does not, they prepare to wage war against him. Micah's is an indictment against the crowd-pleasing tendencies and petty greed of prophets who preach for gain. Like everyone else, we preachers like our strokes. It surely helps to draw an appreciative guffaw from a crowd every now and then, if not more. Paul mentions contrary pastors and theologians whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, whose glory is in their shame, whose mind is set on earthly things. Touché. The Micaean preachers were even more depraved. Yahweh would repay them by inflicting a famine of the word of God upon the country. Therefore, night will come upon you without visions and darkness without divination. The sun will set for the prophets, and the day will go dark for them. The seers will be ashamed, and the diviners disgraced. They will all cover their faces because there is no answer from God. But, Micah concludes, as for me, I am filled with power, with the spirit of Yahweh, and with justice and might. I shall declare to Jacob his transgression, and to Israel his sin. This is as close, that final verse, as today's text gets to the gospel in the narrow sense, though it's still pretty far removed. Nevertheless, what we see here is the prophet's sense that though the rival preachers are ineffectual and dark, he himself is filled with the spirit of Yahweh, indeed with justice and might. Micah could see that salvation in his age depended solely upon the word of Christ, preaching it unerringly and true for his hearers, for by doing so he would save both himself and them, if I may paraphrase St. Paul. What Micah would bring to Jacob was his transgression and to Israel his sin, that is, the preaching of the law. But Micah would bring this because God had set him into this position and had commanded him so to do. It didn't matter that his enemies were all around him and against him, that he might even get killed in the press of duties. The Spirit of Yahweh was with Micah. He would provide Micah's enlivenment and comfort. Yea, Micah would become the embodied oracle, the mouthpiece of the Lord. Micah, I submit to you, was a prophet of Israel, a preacher for his own time and place. And his life and ministry still presents a very good example for us of what it means to be a prophet in these last days. Preachers of integrity and courage are needed to stand up against those who would kill the unborn in the womb, to refute those who would call perversion normalcy, yes, to give vent to moral outrage. But such outrage in itself still falls quite short. Micah's task and ours was and still is to preach Jesus Christ and him crucified to the fallen world of which we are a part. For Christ is our only hope, not some moral crusade. Even if the world has to go to hell in a handbasket, the Messiah will come and set all things right. Micah was sure of this in his ministry, and so must we be. For example, Micah, of all the Old Testament preachers, knew precisely where the Christ would be born, and he had an amazing grasp also of the Messiah's significance. But thou, O Bethlehem Ephrathah, who are too little to be among the clans of Judah, from you shall come forth for me one who is to be the ruler in Israel, whose coming forth is from of old, from ancient of days. And he shall stand and shepherd his flock in the strength of Yahweh, in the majesty of the name of Yahweh his God. And they shall dwell securely, for now he shall be great to the ends of the earth, and he shall be their peace. This must be more than one of the lines spoken by children at the Christmas Eve program, but rather the theme of a preacher's entire ministry as it was for Micah. Of course, the themes were picked up in the New Testament, in the Gospel of Matthew to be precise, and shown to be fulfilled in Jesus Christ. But this was scarcely the full extent of the Micaean preaching of the gospel, nor for us preaching in these last days. The mountain of the Lord, the vindication of Yahweh over and against his enemies, the gathering of the exiles into the New Testament church, the sense that when a sinner falls, Yahweh will raise him up and execute justice against his enemies, and on, just some of the gospel fare represented in this oracle, too copious to exhaust here. Thou, O God, will show faithfulness to Jacob and steadfast love to Abraham, as you have sworn to our fathers from the days of old. Amen. And now the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.